Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn then to the reading that we read together. And our text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and verse 8. Words taken from this great Sermon of the Mount. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And that word there in verse 8, for everyone, that means whoever it is this day, for everyone. The Lord Jesus was speaking, as you know, to his disciples. He called them aside as he went up the mountain. But as you read to the end of the chapter, the great crowds were listening on and listening into the address that was given to the disciples on that day. And then he makes this great command, really, that they should ask. And this is for everyone, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a non-Christian. There is this word which goes forth. And I see on your leaflet, there's a memory verse for the children to read over the next number of weeks. And it's taken from Luke's Gospel. And you find these words there in Luke's Gospel. And they deal with that question that the disciples asked Jesus concerning about prayer. And he told them, this is what you need to do. You need to ask, and you need to seek, and you need to knock. But I'll say to you at this point in this sermon, in Matthew chapter 7, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not dealing with prayer. He's not dealing with prayer at this point. What the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with, he's dealing with people, dealing with people. And you've got good news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he was no rambling speaker. He didn't just jump from one topic to the next. Every word was in place. Every line was in place. And you read, don't you, in chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught them there, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he taught them how to pray. And he dealt with that subject. He dealt with it fully. And then you see, you come now to chapter 7. And he's dealing with how people should act and live, that they should not judge one another, that they should come then and be careful in how they deal with one another. And then what you have, look, you have this great word which is given by the Lord Jesus. We can't even begin to imagine, can we, what it must have been like to have listened to the Lord because he came to speak these words. And as he's giving this address, well, if he had stopped and just said with an authority that was from heaven, ask, seek, knock. He's dealing with people in front of him. People who need to receive something. People who need to find something. People who need a way forward in their lives. And when you come, you see, to this great address of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is not anything like it in this sense that when you come, you realize, although he's teaching, because it says that at the very end of that chapter, and they were astonished at his teaching. It wasn't a teaching that was dry or was not applied. It was a teaching now, as you see, which was not only then to be praised, but he's asking them to pray. And it's a teaching that was to be applied to their lives. And when they came and when they listened to what was being taught, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was very convicting. It was very challenging. And in these very verses, perhaps you've thought of it yourself, there's a strange place to put these verses on prayer. But it's not strange when you take the whole context of the Sermon of the Mount. Because what he's doing is coming to the end of the Sermon of the Mount. And as he comes to the end of it, I don't know if you've read it. If you've read the Sermon on the Mount, is it not challenging? Does it not drive you into the ground? Someone has said of the Sermon on the Mount, it's the impossible possibility. And when you come, perhaps the Lord Jesus could see the faces of those people, those who were hungry for righteousness, those who had fallen, those who were hellbound. And perhaps he could see, as he knew of the great standards, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. And you see what the Lord's doing. He's ministering to people. Listen to these words. He's ministering to them. And now he sees that crowd. And you need to do something. When you come and you listen, you need to come to God and you need to ask and knock before God. And this is because it's needful. we have no hope of ever living as we ought. As he's talked to them in this very sermon, there are people, he says, do you know where you are? He tells them in this Sermon on the Mount, you're hellbound. Unless you come and you, he says, you cut off your right hand and you pluck out your right eye, unless you live a life like this. And I don't know about you, have you ever come to that place where you realize that you're absolutely desperate? Look, the news, the great news is this. Although the Lord gives three commands, he's given three promises. You will receive, you will find, the door will be opened. And those three things then this morning as we gather here, very simply, that the Lord Jesus Christ is commanding. It's in this imperative. And he's speaking to people in front of him, and he wants them to do something. I'm sure, perhaps you're not sure, but in our place, I'm sure, yes, you must have been in a place of worship. And someone has said, if you were there when you were a child, you know, don't say anything. You've got to be absolutely silent. No speaking in chapel, in church. And yet, you know, I would say to you, the Lord would love it this morning if someone just got up and started speaking to God, because it's so desperate. And what happens is, as they come and they listen, and as at this point they have come and they're hearing, there's something that you need to do. And that may be you this morning. Do you know, this morning you have come to the Heath, perhaps for many weeks. You have come for many months. And you know what you've done? You've come and you've listened, and you've been absolutely moved, perhaps, and you've been interested, and you've been engaged. And you may even go home from the Heath this morning and you say, well, do you know that? There was someone with a thick accent, and there was someone now, but I learned something about God. You could learn something about God every week in this place. But you know something? You'd be lost. You'd be lost, because you'd have to come to a place where you ask God, where you speak to him and you come to him. You'll never get to heaven just by listening, so to speak, with your mind. There comes a moment. And what you have here is that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he exhorts them, knowing their need, he sees them before him. He sees hungry people, hungry people. And if you want to receive from God in God's ways, you've got to ask. And I am sure there may be many a school teacher here. How many times have you actually said this to some class or some form, that if you don't understand, just put up your hand and ask? How many times have you used that when you know that they need to have an understanding to get through their exams? Just ask. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the great teacher. But he's not just making a suggestion, and he's not just saying, if you could hear him this morning, if you could really hear him, if you could hear this very word of God as Jesus speaks in his great incarnation, ask, ask. You must ask, because unless you do something, he knows within the heart of each and every one of us. Do you know, I'm sure you must have said it, and you've heard it too many times, where you've been with someone and you say, well, why didn't you go and see about that? I didn't like to ask. That's part of our human condition. That's part of our pride, living without God, believing. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ puts this, the impossible life of that Sermon on the Mount, and that life that needs to be possible in our very experience and existence. And then he tells them, does he not? And he's speaking, and you need to do that. And as we come in a church, I don't know, I'm sure there's many people who've been Christians many years. We need to look at that once again, don't we? You go to prayer meetings. I've been to many pointless prayer meetings. You say, why are they pointless? No one ever asked anything, never asked. And I know perhaps you may be spiritual this morning, and you are like these people. I'm religious. I believe in God. That's not the point. It's not that I don't believe. The point is this. You've never come to him with the petition. I've got it here. These phones are handy for some things, aren't they? And here's a quote from that confession. God will give his grace and his Holy Spirit only to such as earnestly and without ceasing beg them from him and render thanks to him. And there must come that place in a person's life and experience. Now again, there may be those of you here this very day, and what happens is that you come to a place of worship. One of the reasons that you come to a place of worship is this, is that things have gone wrong in one's life. I can't imagine someone in this congregation, the size of it, that someone from Cardiff walks in. They do it in Little Narberth. And when they walk in, because we know everybody, you know, in a little village, you'll find that they're walking in that moment because things have gone wrong. Things are not right. Normally things perhaps at work, things in relationship, things with marriage. And what they say is this, I need to come to God. I need to know more of God. But I don't want to ask God for anything. Do you know why? Because I feel bad. I've lived now without God, no thought of God. And all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't seem right just to come to him when I'm in need. The only time I turn to God is when I'm in need and I have to ask for something. Look, God doesn't mind. You know why? Because he's a giving God, a giving God. He spared not his only begotten Son. How much will he give us freely all things? You need to know the heart of God and come to God. You've got to realize very first of all this morning that God, you see, is gracious and God gives all things. And God this morning wants to give to you. And one of God's ways in giving the blessings to you is this, in his great providence, in his great sovereignty, is that he has urged men and women to come and seek them. Blessings from him. You have to ask. And the promise is this. As one old Puritan put it like this, that no one went as far as heaven to ask God. And if you've gone that far, he'll surely give it to you. And this morning, just do that. If you have never then, in this place and in your life, you've come to do your worship, you've come to be good, you've come to give of your gifts, but you need to have come and asked something from him. But then also the second thing is this, and there is perhaps a progression. Now you need to seek, and what happens is the Lord again is knowing what these people actually need. You find that, don't you? There in verse 33 of chapter 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the second thing is that you need now to come and seek God. You need to find something in your life. The Lord Jesus spoke of heaven like this. You know what heaven is like? Heaven is like a man who's searching and seeking for that pearl of great price. And what happens is that you come to a place where he's found what he's looking for. People are looking for many things in life. You may be looking for something this morning. You may be looking for happiness. People are looking for relationships on the internet, on the website. People are looking for a job, and you know what it is to seek. And you've got to go to the job center, and you're putting your CV out. And yet now you see the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives another call. You need to come and seek now. Seek something from God. You need to search, you need to look. And it tells us something about ourselves, that we're lost. Look, these are important things, these are great things. And what happens is this, is that you come to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You definitely need to seek. No one can find God unless you seek for him. And that's our great need, is it not? I know that the Bible says that the attributes of God are clearly seen. And they've been made manifest in the things which have been made. And there is enough evidence for the existence of God all around you. But there's not enough evidence, so to speak. Oh, there's enough evidence to condemn us. But you need to know this, do you not? You need to find God. And God has hidden himself. He's hidden himself. And God's a God who hides himself because he must hide himself. And though his power and his eternal Godhead are clearly seen, the reality is this, that God has had to hide himself because of his power and his glory and his might. And he's come and he's hidden himself in a place, listen, you'll never find him. You'll never find him on your own. You'll never come to him by chance. And when you are to look for him, where will you find him? You know, the Bible says that God's come to us in this world. And his glory, the glory of the incredible God, was hidden in the shame of a Calvary. And the wisdom of God has been hidden in the foolishness of a cross. And you want to know, you see, of those things, of the amazing love of God. Oh, it's found there in that death of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You never find him unless you come to God and you say, God, help me. I'm seeking. I'm looking. Help. Open my eyes. I'm like a person, you see. I'm in a dark. There's a veil over my eyes. I cannot see. I cannot find. It's like that. And if you want to know what it is in the things of this world, I can tell you this. God is with you this day. God is omnipresent. God is active in all your life. But how many times have you said, where is he? Where is he? How many times in your experience, through those dark things, the darkness of Calvary, God hides himself in that smallness of Calvary, the nakedness of that place. God is hidden in your life, your trials, your troubles. Do you know something? God, he's there. He's so close to you. And you can't see him. And you cry out, don't you? And you say, where is he? Oh, you need to seek. You need to seek. There was a woman a number of weeks ago. She came into the evening service and she said, Can I talk to you after? Can you come and see me? I said, why? She said, I've lost my faith. I've lost my faith. Now, I'm not going to argue here this morning whether you can lose your faith or not. I said, I'll come and see you tomorrow. I'll come and see you tomorrow. And I went over the house, and this is what happened. That about 20 years, perhaps 25 years ago, her son had, he died of a terrible illness, she said. A terrible illness. And it was terrible, she said, to watch. But she believed in God. She believed in God. And she believed it was for a purpose. And she believed that this terrible experience was, well, God would make it clear to her in her life. And after 25 years, God had not revealed anything to her. And after 25 years, she still couldn't make any sense of what God had done and why it happened. And from now, that very point, she says she'd lost her faith. Well, like I said, I wasn't going to argue with her on the theological grounds of whether a person could lose their faith. I just said this to her. Well, you know something that the Bible says about faith. Faith's very precious, isn't it? Very precious. You know that. The other day I was walking and I had a hole in my pocket. I lost a pound. I'm not talking about weight. I lost a pound of, you know, of change. I got to be honest with you. I took a quick look, but I moved on. I moved on. If it was £20, I would have stayed a bit longer. If it was £100,000, I would have moved until I found it. Until I found it. And I said to her, "You see, faith is very precious, and you've lost things in your life which are precious, haven't you? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have to look for it. And we have to seek for it. Because the reality is, anyway, faith is a gift from God. We don't have it in our powers, do we? It's not. It's something which is given to us. And there's somewhere we have to go then. We have to come to God. And that may be you this morning. You've come to a place and in your life you say, where is he? Why is this? And you're in the dark. And you don't know the way. And you don't have the answers. And Jesus Christ says to you, look, there's something that you need. There's a treasure and you can find it. Seek for it. You'll find it. And you're looking for that in your life, for that meaning, for a righteousness which will cover you, for a pardon for your sins. Seek for it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you will find it. You will find it. And then you see, look, there's the third thing. And the third thing is this, is to knock. And people say there's a progression. Well, let me describe it to you. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to these people and he's telling them to do something. You may be listening, you see, with your ears this morning. But you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to do something with your lips. No, you can do it now. You really can. It is that needful. You need to do something with your eyes. And you need to search. And although those Pharisees says, well, you search the scriptures thinking you have eternal life. These scriptures speak of me. But you need to do something else now. You need to knock. You need to knock. And that knocking, you say, what is that knocking? Oh, it's that coming to God. And every one of us knows Jesus speaks in a way that we must do. The word is spoken not only in the emphatic, not only in the imperative, but it's in the present. And you need to keep on knocking. You need to keep on knocking. I don't know if you watched the opening of Parliament. And Black Rod, you know, I find it fascinating. And he knocks the door, does he? He knocks three times. Remember, three times. Do you remember our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? Three times. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? He said, I asked for this to be removed. Three times. And now Jesus says, no, it's going to be more than three times. You're going to have to really knock. And what he means by knocking, he means now, in that parable where he has a person who comes to the unjust judge, and remember that they keep on knocking at midnight, and it's an inopportune time, and you must keep on no matter what happens, just you knock and you wait, you knock and you wait. And what he's saying, he's talking here, no doubt about it, about coming to God and praying and asking and making those requests before God. Let me illustrate it. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a knocking. I hope there's a knocking from this place in the Heath this morning. But there is a knocking. The Lord Jesus Christ says, listen to the church in Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You say, how is he knocking? Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's doing something. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He is speaking to you. He is coming to you. He's communicating with you. He is talking to you. He is knocking. And he says that then to his church. Now look, there is then that experience that we have to have before God, where we have to come and you need to know something. You need to knock. And you need to make your petition to him for that door to be opened. Because the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of what heaven is like. And heaven is like, there is a door that needs to be opened. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. And anyone who comes before me, well, look, if you come to that gate, you need to come. And you need to come before God and just keep on knocking. Now, it's like this. I'll give you one example and illustration. It was my own conversion. And it was a conversion of my friend who was converted with me. And what happened was that we went to a meeting. And I'm not saying that this is the most theological of meetings to go to. But we had, you know, one of those tracts given. And at the back of the tract, it was a Knowing God tract, and it just simply said, you know, a little prayer. So I prayed the prayer, and I was converted. I was converted. Said the prayer. One knock. I was straight in. Heaven's door opened to me. I knew the moment I got off my knees, God had heard me. Do you know what my friend did? He had to go home. And he knocked. The next day, did exactly the same thing. Him and me were not the brightest sparks in the box. That's all we had was with this tract. Someone told us to read the tract. Did it again. The 14th day, he says, "Chris, I'm saved." Do you see it? I can't tell you of anything automatic. I'm not talking about some magic kind of prayer. I'm just telling you that you just got to keep on knocking. And the door will be opened unto you. Perhaps there's someone here, you've come to a place in your life and you need a door opened. That's for sure. You're in prison. You're in your chains and you're bound. And you know that you've got nowhere to go. And you're cornered. And you're in that very place. No, Jesus knows that. He knows these people have no ability whatsoever to move anywhere in their Christian experience before God. He's giving them this sermon. It condemns them to hell, but they need heaven. Jesus says, "Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. The knock, that door will be opened." And that's the great cry, is it not? Perhaps this morning you're in that place. The Apostle Paul could say in his own life he'd come to a place and he was at a dead end. He says, "Pray that a door will be opened, that door of service where the gospel may go forth." We're living in a time where doors are closing to us. You say, what do you do? Come to God. Cry to him. Keep on knocking. That's the great promise. And you will then have that door opened. You've got to come believing. Believe this morning in this word of Jesus Christ. Believe this morning that his promises are true. Obey his word, because it is a command. And bow the knee. Jesus Christ is not speaking so much about prayer. He's speaking to people who need doors opened, people who need to find something in their lives, and people who are desperately hungry and they need to receive. We're going to sing a hymn.